Welcome to the broadcast ministry of His Vision Ministries with Pastor Shane Lawson. God's word is unlike any other word. It is alive. Jesus said, "The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life." John 6:63. These messages are intended to bring life application, hope, and encouragement from the Word of God. The purpose of His Vision's multimedia ministry is to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world through the use of technology and media as an outreach tool. We pray you will be blessed by today's message. Now here is Pastor Shane.
There's 2 days that can rob you of joy and fulfillment found in today, and that is yesterday and tomorrow, and both days that believers must refuse to dwell in. And so, far too many Christians, I believe, have never learned to let go of yesterday, and we continue to carry its weight, and it drains us of joy. Now, Paul could have lived under the shadow of his past guilt, but he chose not to. And perhaps you're like Paul and many others, you've done things that you have deeply regretted, right? We all have. And friend, I want you to know right now, I want you to remember this, what God has cleansed, no one else has the right to condemn.
Amen, brother.
Amen. Listen, when you have gone and you've confessed your sin and placed it under the blood, it is buried in the depths of God's forgiveness.
Amen.
Don't allow yesterday's failures to go and poison today's peace.
Amen.
Instead, choose to live fully in the very present moment. Now, you and I, we've been walking through a powerful journey I'm calling Living Through Life's Hard Hits. And the inspiration of this series here came at a very unforgettable moment for me. I was sitting, as I've told you, quietly on a lanai on a porch one day, simply like most people when they're trying to rest and seek God, observing life, when I noticed a family out there that was unraveling in a heated conflict. Voices were being raised, hearts were hurting, and right there at that very moment, the Holy Spirit of God whispered to my spirit and basically told me through the Holy Spirit that this is the life for so many. In other words, people are reeling from the hits, the hard hits of life. And that moment, it pierced my heart, and I knew that God was birthing this series that we've been in for a good while now, and it needed to be shared. And so since that day, we've seen God speak to us week after week, teaching us how to stand tall when life tries to knock us down, and it will, right? We all get knocked down sometimes. And we've learned that though we may be pressed, the Bible says, and I love when Paul says this, we're never crushed.
Amen.
And I don't know about you, but that brings me hope. And then, because God always gives purpose to the pain, and we've discovered that failing is not final. For the righteous, that guess what? They rise again by the strength of the Lord. We've drawn strength. We've talked about this for the struggle. And that's by simply going to Ephesians chapter 6 and reading and putting on the full armor of God Almighty. And then we've learned to stand firm, refusing to surrender to an inch of ground that the enemy gives. And we've embraced the promise of peace and the pressure. We're under pressure sometimes, right? In other words, we're trusting that God's presence steadies us through the storm. And we've also talked about some other things, clinging to God through the chaos. And you know, last week we were talking about peace, and guess what? This morning when I woke up, Israel was at war with Hamas again. And so we talked about discipline behind disappointment. I'll be honest, that was a little disappointing to see that there's already, the peace didn't last long, obviously. And we've talked about walking straight paths in shaky places. Now, I know I've gone through a lot. I just want to refresh what we talked about there. And now we're going to move on to the next step in our journey. Today, I want to talk to you about forgetting what's behind, freedom from the past's prison. And so, because listen, until you and I learn to release what's behind us, right? Whatever that may be, we will never be able to fully reach what God has set before us.
Amen.
I want you to take God's word this morning, please, and turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I'll turn my microphone on and you might be able to hear me better since I've got this raspy voice. When you've got a voice like that, it's a little more tougher to be a preacher or a song leader, right, Brother David? Sometimes we deal with it a few times a year. The Bible reads, beginning in verse number 13, Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus."
Amen.
This is the word of the Lord, and I've spoken this word before. As a matter of fact, when I first came here, and we'll give God the praise for that today. Brother David, would you pray for me this morning?
Our Heavenly Father, God, we thank you, Lord, for this day. God, we thank you, Lord, for your blessing. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for the service as far as God that we've had. And for those that's come to all of them this morning, Father, we ask you, Lord, just to be with those. And Father, we ask you, Lord, just to be a Brother Shane, Lord, to stand to bring the message this morning. God, just give him the words that we need to hear in the fight for the day to walk. And Father, we pray for one here lost or backslid. God, that this would be the day, God, that you give a heart and life to thee before it's ever lasting too late. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You know, God reminded me in Sunday school this morning I need to trust Him through this. And so when I started questioning, Lord, why, out of from Genesis to Revelation, why do you have me back in this passage? You know what? I just need to trust Him. God has you and God has me here today for a purpose. Amen. Listen, life has a way of hitting us hard. And broken relationships, personal failures, past sins, shameful choices, haunting regrets. Listen, all these things can become heavy chains. And if we don't learn to let go. And so the scripture gives us, I believe, a path to press on and after the hardest hits. So here in Philippians chapter 3 and verses 13 and 14 that we just read, the Apostle Paul, he models for us a mindset of moving forward and getting past and focusing, the Bible says, on the prize. And so, listen, if we are going to live through life's hard hits, we must learn to let go of what was so that we can walk in it and what it will be. So here's really what I want us to take away today if you're taking notes. Friend, true freedom begins when you and I, we release the grip of yesterday and we press forward. I want you to know, are we pressed toward God's purpose for today and the prize that awaits tomorrow?
Amen.
Listen, today we're going to explore just three things quickly. How we can release, I believe, from the past and reach for the promises. And that's simply through these things. First of all, the prison of the past, the power of perspective, and the pursuit of the prize. So if you take notes, you can write these down. Number one, the prison of the past. Notice verse 13. The Bible says, forgetting those things which are behind. So failures that fracture. Listen, friend, many believers today are bound by the memory of moral and relational and spiritual failures. In other words, these things, because of something that happened 30 or 50 or 60 years ago, has tied them down in all their life, and they're miserable. You know, Peter wept bitterly, remember, after denying Christ. David groaned under the guilt of his sin. Remember with Bathsheba when he got into what I call the spin zone. Failures fracture ourselves, our self-worth, our spiritual momentum. But God, I want you to know, my friend, praise God, He doesn't define us by our collapse. He defines us by our calling. Listen, the devil wants to freeze us in failures. But you know what? God wants to free us through forgiveness.
Amen.
You know, in Ohio, a man named Ricky Jackson, he's on the screen there, was wrongfully sentenced to death at just the age of 18 after a mistaken eyewitness identification. You may not know this, but he would spend 39 years of his life in prison for a crime that he never even committed. When Jackson was finally exonerated and released, you know what? He could have easily carried bitterness, right? And resentment for the rest of his life. Think about that if you went to prison for 39 years for something you never did. You know what? Instead, just like we heard last week and like we've seen a few weeks ago, like Erica Kirk, he chose to forget.
Yes.
He forgave the man whose testimony had condemned him. And listen, when they met face to face, guess what happened? These two men cried together. And Jackson later said that for many years, he said, "I hated this eyewitness." But forgiveness was the only way, he said, that he could move forward. You know, I share that to say this. That right there is a vivid picture of what God offers us. Friend, that is freedom that comes when we refuse the devil's attempt to freeze us in our failures instead of God's forgiveness so that the past, whatever that may be, can no longer hold us captive. You know, you can't move forward while you're chained to what you should have left behind. Do you realize that? You know, what happens is there's these frustrations that begin to fester. Sometimes it's not just what we've done, but what's been done to us. Think about this. Betrayals. Disappointments. How many have been disappointed before? What about lost dreams? Think of that. Listen, these things become wounds that refuse to heal them. You know why? Because in our mind, we keep rehearsing them over and over and over. We nurse them. And guess what else we do? Sometimes we even curse them. And so Hebrews 12:15, it warns us about the root of bitterness that springs up and defiles. You know, I want you to know, bitterness, it blinds. Resentment restricts. Holding on to the past hurts. It's like drinking poison, hoping someone else gets sick. You know, I can only speak sometimes for myself. Has anybody ever felt not like this guy? Let's be honest. It's easy, right? Brother Carlos, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Brother David? Everybody in here knows, right? Listen, friend, I can only speak of myself, and I'm going to be totally transparent. I get frustrated sometimes with certain things.
Amen.
And there are things that are said to me sometimes to my face, whether that be at work or be wherever. And sometimes there's things that are said about me behind my back. And I must admit, sometimes I put a lot of that on myself because of the platform that I have. And when you decide to go outside of the church and start spreading the gospel through the means of internet and technology, sometimes in the past on the radio, sometimes guess what? When you do those types of things, whether it's through my daily devotions or nuggets that are going to all these different people, sometimes you get negative feedback. Because, listen, there's a lot of people out there in the world today, they don't like my message.
Amen.
Well, let me tell you what the message is. The message is this. All I'm doing is being the mouthpiece for the Lord Jesus. And you may not believe this, but you can turn on your TV and you can quickly identify some of these crazed people. And the way they look, you can tell. And I'm not trying to judge anybody, but it's obvious that there's people possessed. Some of the things that people are doing in our nation and in our world are not godly.
Amen, brother.
And they do not like it when someone like me or you goes out and above and we speak about Jesus. They don't like it when we sing Blessed Assurance, because they don't believe in Blessed Assurance. Listen, I've been subjected, just like everybody else, to things that are not right. And there's been decisions made by people that in the workplace or in the world, they never pray about it. They never get any thought, how is this going to affect other people? And so, if anybody knows anything about getting frustrated, it's me. My wife can attest to this. I'm Moses sometimes. I strike the rock. You know, most people may not be aware of this, and this is not just an Eastview thing, but in most churches, and listen, I'm around a lot of pastors like Brother Mike Exline. He would tell you the same thing if he was here. Most pastors are aware of a lot more of what's going on in the church than you will ever realize. And there's a lot of things that I find out that should never even be involved or brought to church or ought to be a part of the church, just to be honest. And so I know what it's like to get frustrated when I hear, and disappointed when I hear that someone in the church or somebody in a church, not just here, but in another church, has done something they should not be doing.
Amen.
You know, I'll say this. Dealing with issues is something that I do not like about pastoring. It frustrates me to have to deal with issues. I don't like it. Remember Barney 5? Some things you got to nip in the bud, though, right?
Amen.
And you move on. Here's the thing you cannot do. If there's an issue, you can't hold that in your heart. And I can't be right with God if I come through that door tonight and I've got something that bothered me this morning on my mind. As a matter of fact, I'll just be honest. If I had something that was bothering me this morning and I've got it on my mind right now, I can't be productive in getting up here and sharing this message. So I have to let those things surrender them to the Lord. Let me tell you, I love it when people allow the Holy Spirit, Sister Shannon, to come up here, and Sister Charlotte. I don't care if we're singing. I don't care if I'm preaching. If the Holy Spirit of God is leading you to this altar, you come to this altar.
Amen.
If we're back here and people are coming in 30 minutes before church, or you need to get here an hour before church and pray, you come to this altar if the Holy Spirit's leading you. No, you can't step into healing while you're still holding your hurt hostage. And then there's fame that fades. Think about this. For some, failure and frustration, I mean, that holds them. It's former successes. You know, some are stuck in the glory days, let's just be honest, of the past. But living in yesterday's anointing is like trying to drive forward. And I've said this before, looking in the rearview mirror. Trust me, you do not want me in a vehicle driving, looking through the rearview mirror, going forward. Just the other day, something in my car malfunctioned. And all these bells were going off, and I had somebody from work in my car. And I'm like, what in the world? And as I was slowly, I mean, I was only going like literally 5 miles an hour through a parking lot. Lights going off and everything. I'm like, this thing's tearing up. And these two women, they're not watching. They just walk right out in front of my car. I mean, this close. I look up and I slam on the brake. It only takes a second, my friend, I'm telling you. And then somebody at work, the person that was with me, pranked me. they went on to His Vision Ministries Facebook page and mocked up this thing. We seen you, Pastor Shane. You just about hit my mama in the parking lot and all this other stuff. And you know what? I just died laughing at this guy. I said, that's a good one. But it's not that good because I don't let people post things like that on His Vision Ministries unless it's me. And then the next day, I'm getting a text message from this guy. And it's got my car with two little crippled women trying to cross over the crosswalk, and there my car's about to hit them. They're never going to let me down. But you know what? Looking at all that stuff on the dash lighting up and going nuts is the same as looking in the rearview mirror going forward. That wasn't even part of the message, but I thought I'd share it. By the way, y'all may not know this, but usually half of what I say is not what I plan on saying. It's just the Holy Spirit. Listen, God's mercies are new every morning. Amen. That's what the Bible tells us in the book of Lamentations. And so should our mission. It ought to be new every morning. Listen, Paul had plenty to boast about in his education, in his accomplishments, in his zeal, Brother Hull. But he said, I count them but dung that I may win Christ. Listen, friend, I'm putting some images up here. At my house, in my safe room, I have a collection of accolades. And I'm telling you right now, I accumulated them as a kid, as a teenager, by playing soccer, baseball, basketball, getting Youth of the Year, and all these other things. I've got certifications over the last 30 years, certificates and plaques that are in boxes, and so forth for my career. Awards even from the state, the Tennessee Baptist Convention. I've got awards from that for certain things. Guess what? Let me tell you something. I don't live on any of those victories.
Amen.
That is the past. And that's why those items are in storage. By the way, this is not at my house.
But I have those types of awards. Those accolades, right? Remember playing ball and getting a trophy or something?
Can I tell you something? I don't have a wall big enough to hold half of that stuff. And I'm not bragging. I'm making a point here tonight. It's just today. I can't live on yesterday's successes. If somebody gave me a trophy like yesterday, this is today. I can't live based off of yesterday's success. And for those of you that are Alabama fans, it's coming out right now. You were successful yesterday, but guess what? Even if it was Tennessee, I'm saying this. You can't live on yesterday's successes today. You can brag about it today, but you don't need to live on it, right?
Amen.
If Tennessee won and they did not, it's time for a change, maybe. I don't know. Get rid of the portal. That'd be a good change. Anyway, let's move on. The point is this, you can't change tomorrow's mission while clinging to yesterday's medals. The second thing is the power of perspective. This is reaching forth into those things which are before. Listen, friend, the key to leaving the past is not just letting go, but guess what? Leaning in to what God is doing and where God is going. You know what perspective does? It determines whether our pain becomes a prison or a platform. And so there's this faith-focused forwardness. Paul says, this one thing I do. It's a decision of focus. You know, many people today, they live fragmented lives. Why? Because they're distracted by a dozen things. Paul's perspective was laser sharp. Forget the past, and he said, reach toward the future. The word reaching there, it implies effort, intent, intensity. You know, if I spend my time looking back over the last 26 years of ministry, dwelling on past victories and successes from other churches or whatever, even here, I'm going to lose sight of what God wants me to focus on right now for this ministry. I can't focus on the fact that in one day we had 39 people baptized in the church that I served in today. I've got to focus on that one that needs to be baptized here today, right? I'm using that as an example. So we got to focus. The focus is the fuel of forward faith. And then there's future fueled faithfulness. Romans chapter 8. Y'all know this is one of my favorite chapters in all the Bible, even though I love all the Bible. But in Romans 8:18, here's what it says. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Listen, if you can see what's ahead, you won't stay stuck in what's behind. This guy right here, Louis Zamperlini's vision. He was once an Olympic distance runner and later a U.S. Army airman. He survived an airplane crash in the Pacific during the World War II. He had two crewmates that drifted on life rafts for 47 days, battling starvation, dehydration, shark attacks, and mental despair. Imagine being out there that long. You heard Brother Mike talk a little bit about something similar. And so he was captured by the Japanese. He had all these brutal treatments. He was a prisoner of war, beating, starvation, harsh labor, psychological terror. But you know what? He clung to a vision and a life beyond survival, a hope beyond release. A hope of release. In other words, to return home one day, just like those people we seen on TV returning home last week. Freedom, forgiveness, restoration. It gave him a fortitude to preserve through the present suffering. You know what? I say that to say this, and I want you to know this. A clear view of the future helps us preserve through present pain. Yes. See, I know where I'm going when I die. And we sing about this in here all the time, right? I mean, don't we sing when we all get to heaven?
Amen.
What a day of rejoicing that will be.
Yes.
What a true song. But if we focus on that in our circumstances, we're going to be happy people, right?
Amen.
A Christian life is not static. It's not static at all. We've got to change our perspective. And when we do, we will change our position. I could go and reteach what you taught in Sunday school, but go back and read Exodus. Some people are like the people of Exodus, right? Their perspective keeps them from moving forward. And I'll say this. I was thinking of Vacation Bible School. Listen. Some things we did here in our church, we don't do like we did 93 years ago, right? You remember how y'all used to do things 93 years ago? Brother Robin's not here, so I could aggravate you. When I was a kid in Vacation Bible School, we got there at 8 a.m. and left at 12. We went to a room with a teacher, and we spent 3 hours in that room and maybe 30 minutes at recreation with that teacher.
Amen.
They had a peanut butter sandwich.
Amen.
And that's right. And some water. He went. We don't do that anymore. In 2025 or next year, if we went back to that method of Vacation Bible School, let me tell you this. The first night would be the last night for every kid that attended. Not only that, the first night would be the last night for anybody that talked. Could you imagine being in a Sunday school room today with kids with the door shut for 4 hours? You know what the problem is? I'm just going to be honest.
Kids are not patient. Kids are not disciplined anymore.
That's why they can't stay in a classroom more than 30 minutes. We live in a time where, oh, it's a... Honey, don't do that. Right?
When I was a kid, the reason I could sit in that class for 4 hours is because the rod was never spared.
Amen.
But I'm just giving you an example. Some things we can't do like we used to do. Let me give you another example. Door back here, right?
When I was a kid, the church that I went to as a kid, they left the church unlocked. It just had a doorknob on it when I was a little kid at Maverick Shades. And I remember the church in an uproar when they put a door lock on there to lock it. Could you imagine if we didn't lock our church doors, what would happen in 2025? Somebody would come in here and vandalize and tear this place apart and steal everything in here. And let me tell you another thing. It's sad enough. Nowadays, you can't just lock a door. You have to have security cameras and alarm systems to alert you when somebody does break in. Not if, but when.
We can't do things always like we used to. Another thing. Churches like our church, remember you used to be able to come, and if anybody wanted to join, you could have enough faith in whoever wanted to join the church to come forward and accept them at that very moment.
Our church here now requires people to go through a new members orientation. You say, well, why? And we voted on that. The church body voted unanimously for that. Why? Because there's people joining churches, destroying churches, and you've got to vet people. I'm just giving you some illustrations.
Think about this. You can't claim Canaan while you're craving Egypt. So there's some things that have to change, but I'll tell you something that never changes.
Amen.
And that's this. When we change this, we're in trouble. I'm going to give you the last thing, and we're going to be done in just a moment. Because my voice is ending. I've got to have a voice for tonight. Look at verse 14. We see the pursuit of the prize. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul shifts to the imagery of a race here, and I preached on this my very first Sunday here at this church 5 years ago. Forgetting the past, that isn't passive. It's pressing forward with passion. We've got to have the drive of determination. Listen, life's hard hits are going to knock you down. But the righteous man, when he falls 7 times, remember that? And he gets back up, Proverbs says. Paul was beaten. The Bible says Paul was shipwrecked. He was in prison. He was misunderstood. But he pressed. Why did he press? That's the question. Because there was something worth running for, right? That word mark there in the Greek refers to a goal line. Every runner that runs has their eye on the finish line. You'll never run right if your eyes are on the wrong thing. Could you imagine there's the finish line and being like I was in my car the other day, all this stuff going nuts, and me looking at that instead of paying attention? Could you imagine there's the finish line? I mean, you've got to keep your eye on that finish line, right? Then there's the direction of destiny. Listen, we're not pressing for earthly success, but for a high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Listen, this is not about trophies or titles or treasures. It's about eternal purpose. You know, the Bible says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You know, Paul understood that this life was not about comfort, but about completion. We press not for an applause, but from approval for the one, from the one who called us. You know what? The prize is not just heaven. It's Him.
Yes.
Amen.
It's not just making it to heaven. It's Him. I don't know about you, but when I get to heaven, that's who I want to see.
Amen.
It's all about Him. And then the devotion of the discipline. The Bible tells us, lay aside every weight and sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Listen, discipline is the bridge between pain and prize. And so, in conclusion, I want you to think about Paul's pattern as we close. Let go of what's behind, right?
Yes.
Lean into what is ahead. And live for the prize that never fades. Listen, God never consults your past to determine your future. What He forgives, praise God, He forgets. What He restores, He revives. And what He starts, He finishes. You know what? We need to rise up from the rubble. We need to dust off the debris, and we need to press on, and we need to forget the failure, whatever that is. Forget the frustration. Forget the fame. You know why? There's more ahead than what's been left behind.
Amen.
You realize that? There is more ahead than what's been left behind. Let's pray. Father God, today we want to thank You for Your word. God, we just praise You and exalt You, God, for who You are. Lord, let's forget about those things which are behind, and let's focus on the things that You would have us to focus on. Lord, may we keep our eye on the prize. Lord, that's You. Lord, may we live on that promise. Just Lord, that if You're for us, who can be against us? And Father, today, I pray, God, for every one of us in here. Lord, that revival just didn't end Wednesday night in our lives. Or it doesn't end today or tomorrow. But that, God, every morning when we wake up and our feet hit the ground, that we have a new day. That we can stand and praise You and exalt You for who You are. And Lord, that we can keep our eye from this day forward focused wholly on You. And Lord, when we begin to drift off, Lord, may that Holy Spirit tug, just like that young man that was in my car the other day that said, whoa, Shane, you're about to hit somebody. Whoa. Lord, may the Holy Spirit of God tug at us when we take our eyes off of the prize. Father, today we pray that You have Your way. Lord, I pray if there's someone that's sitting here that You've asked to come to the altar and pray for whatever it may be. God, I want people in this church to be comfortable to come to the old-fashioned altar. Lord, I know there's a church down the road that doesn't even have an altar call because they don't believe in altar calls. Their pastor believes that before you were ever born, you were either predestined to a place called heaven or hell. And we know those places are real. But God, I know Your word teaches that there's a choice that can be made. And Lord, people in this room and people that should be watching but can't because the live stream's down today. But Lord, those people have a choice. And so Lord, we ask today that You move in a mighty way in each person's life. And God, they make the choice to follow You. Lord, they make the choice, just as Britton did the other night, to recommit and dedicate their life to serve You. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able to stand to your feet this morning, thank you for bearing with me today.